All right, so real fast. I don't want to belabor this, but so we're going to play golf with Francesa.
Yeah, next Thursday.
Next Thursday.
Yeah.
God, that is creeping up. I got to get out a couple times. Good God almighty. God, now I'm back. The way it sounded further away than you know, before. I just texted him during the break. I said, how many bowls should I bring? And he says, this is his response. This actually makes me worry more. He goes, we play with an exceptional caddy, and there's only water on one hole. All right. Like, in Mike's mind, that's reassuring. Like, I got a caddy. No matter where you hit the ball, he's going to go find it.
Yeah,
I'm sure
he's
great.
He's going to be the same guy we used last year because Mike loves him.
I hate playing with caddies.
Whoa!
I get nervous. I actually, it's not the tipping. Yeah. It's not. I just can't stand.
Mike won't let you tip either, by the way.
I figured that, but of course I would never sue. Of course, I'd come with a couple C-notes for that.
I gave the fake, like, oh, Mike.
What do we owe you, Mike? Meanwhile, I got $6 in my pocket.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I didn't go, Mike. I think I got a couple C-notes.
You take Venmo, Mikey. right? PayPal. No, but the point is that I get, like, I'm already a little nervous and tense trying to play righty, especially with Fred saying, a new course. I don't even know the course. But when I have eyeballs of a caddy on me, I do even worse.
All right, here's where I'm going to ease the burden before we get back to the calls. You shouldn't be worried about the golf game.
What?
Because Mike's going to give us critiques of the show and all that stuff as well, which we won't. Like,
that's going to be worse.
What are you doing, okay? Stop talking about yourselves. Nobody can.
Hey, listen, Mike, unlike you, we have competition these days.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it. All right, BT and Sal on the fan. I do actually have to go out and buy bowls. I don't think I had any since last year. Although, dude, one last quick thing. Remember, I had the eye surgeries.
Does this mean we get a little Tiger Licata on the course?
No, I mean, at least I'm going to be able to see what the hell's going on. I would hit, because you talk about losing the ball.
Yeah.
I would hit the ball. I'd have no idea.
I remember you saying that.
Yeah, where it is. I couldn't see.
No, so Mr. Caddyman's on it.
I'm looking forward to it. All right, BT and Sal on the fan. Dan is in Seaford, New York. What's up, Dan?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How are you?
I got a question. It seems like I'm good, thank you. It seems analytics could work during the regular season, but what do you guys think about in the playoffs where you just kind of go with your gut and you know, you kind of throw analytics out the window? Because in the playoffs, you know, you grip the bat a little tighter. Some guys have, you know, handle pressure more than other guys. I mean, you got to let Boone manage, and he's a good manager. And I think if you look in the postseason, I think a lot of the teams that have success kind of throw away the analytics and they just go with the gut because.
Hey, number one, Dan, and I appreciate. We appreciate the thought there. You can't prove that. I mean, that's a broad blanket statement. I'm pretty sure that most teams generally subscribe to in October, you know, what they do for the most part in the regular season. Like, we could do 4 hours on why analytics are great, but I would tell you one, and this is the thing that really bothers me, because this is where the lack of eye or gut or intuition or instinct, this is where it's lost and it's ignored. Let's say pitcher X is a slider reliant pitcher. It's his plus pitch. It's a wipeout slider. It's absolutely 90 miles an hour. It's filthy. And you've got a hitter who, that's his weakness. He can bang fastballs, can even hit the change for whatever reason, slider, whether it's a lefty or a righty, it's not his wheelhouse. And because of the matchup, pitcher X with a nasty slider, hitter Y, slider, poor hitter. But if you do a deeper dive or a deeper extrapolation of pitcher X's recent starts, like hitters, pitchers go into slumps as well. So because over 32 starts, he's got a great slider. The last two or three times he hit the mound, the slider might stink. And you're sitting somebody who is a good hitter otherwise because of the anticipated great slider that's been on sleep for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. Yeah. I think that too many teams want to play a math equation here. It's a baseball game. The old school guys, dude, how many guys, you just saw it at Yankee Stadium. Posada, whatever he said about, hey, these guys just, they got to want it. They got to go out there and care about it. Willie Randolph talking about the same type of stuff. Those guys, well, and it's not just them or just the Yankees. It's the same thing. That old school mentality does not, the people who are running things now with the majority of the baseball teams, they don't want the old school mentality.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want those guys teaching these younger guys. They want to do it their way. Launch angle, home run, the three true outcomes, whatever the bleep that is. Three true, grab the bat, go up there, see the ball, hit it. Even if you're a guess hitter, anticipate fastball, curveball, whatever it may be. Go swing the bat, put the bat on the ball. Exit velo, look at it this way, BT. The exit velo, right?
Yep.
Which is such a great stat. Well, it's showing how hard player X hits the baseball.
And you hear that a lot with Ben Rice. I mean, okay. Ben Rice is banging the ball. He's got it. Yeah, but we knew that about Stanton. Yeah. But Ben Rice's exit velo is really high.
You've heard that a lot about the Mets. Okay, well, even though Soto's hitting into a million double plays or not getting the job done in the clutch, he's still hitting the ball hard.
Yeah.
Well, what happened to hit the ball where they ain't? Now, I'm not saying that you want to hit bloopers. Like Mendoza, when he was on the week that you were out.
Yeah, was he good? I texted you. I know.
He was fine.
Did you press him? Did you get on him a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I'm like, dude, I'm trying to support you here, but you're making it impossible. And that was before they got swept in Milwaukee. Yeah. Point is, he's like, well, Lindor hit a ball hard the other night, and it goes right into the guy's glove. Guy makes a good play. What do you want me to tell him? Like, hit a blooper somewhere? No, but the point is, as a good baseball player, shouldn't you be able to direct where you're hitting the baseball? Like, I'm not saying it's easy, but how many times have we heard about that? For years. What, you tell me all of a sudden because they banned the shift now guys can't hit? Find a gap. You have to hit the ball hard somewhere in a line in the gap. Like, just hitting the ball hard is not the right answer. I understand why people think it is, because more often than not, the harder you hit the ball, the better the result should be.
Yeah.
But it's not always the case. Jeff McGill doesn't hit the ball hard, but yet he won a batting title. You can bloop a ball in it. Put the bat on the ball and hit it where they ain't. That's more effective than hitting it harder right at somebody's glove.
You know, listen, I do like the exit velo measurement, but it's also misleading, like a lot of things. But I would almost focus more, have a good approach, dude. Get yourself in a hitter's count. We can sit here and talk about, you know, swing velocity, hard hit, barrel rate, K rate, walk rate, whiff rate, chase rate, this rate, that rate. Just, I'm a staunch believer in, the more you put yourself in a hitter's count, 1-0, 2-0, 3-0, 3-1, you are going to eventually get something to handle, and over the course of 700 at-bats, you're going to have a good average.
Right.
I mean, that's how I simplify it.
Joey Clams is in Brooklyn. Joey Clams.
Mr. Clam Man.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Hey, how are you?
Hey, Joe.
You guys are both invited to the Metropolitan Cigar Lounge in Edgewood anytime. You tell them Joey Clam sent you.
Now, how for Joey?
And have a bourbon like a gentleman.
Hey, Joey, when Sal was off, you invited me. I'm happy you extended to Sal. And I forgot to ask you, is that near the River Palm Steakhouse? Where is that?
Yeah, that's right down past the River Palm. You go down before you hit Weehawk. And before the blue, what's that other steak joint? The blue...
I don't know, but it's in that area. I got
you. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, you come there. You mentioned my name. Beautiful place. You have a bourbon. Nice. Smoke a cigar. Listen, two things. Number one, we're not the Yankees ain't fundamental. We don't know how to bunt. I don't want to hear, well, they don't bunt. Yes, we do bunt, but they don't know how to bunt. This coaching staff, Boone is going to be the manager next year, most likely. You got to put a better coaching staff around them. This coaching staff is not good. And BT, I was the one that said, bring back that Yankee blood in that dugout.
Yeah, I remember that.
Around them. Yep. Surround them with good coaches that been through it.
Yep.
That could lean on a guy a little bit in a good way, like tough love. While he's managing, have the other guys police.
Well, that's what Mendoza did. That was Mendoza's role.
Did you see Willie Randolph turn the double play the other day? Look at Willie with his hand in his
work
around that.
I love Willie Randolph.
Technician.
Yeah, I got you there. Thank you, Clem, man. Appreciate the call. You know, I just maybe because the way he sounds and the invite just triggered a Sopranos reference.
Yeah.
You want to feel old today? Want to feel old?
Yeah.
Guess how old Little Carmine turned today?
Little Carmine.
Little Carmine.
How old?
71.
Little
in real
Carmine?
Life.
Carmine?
Yeah.
Right. I liked him, actually.
No, he was a good character. Yeah, with the script, with Chrissy's script.
Yeah.
He was trying to be the peace broker. And
can you
to
believe the surprise? We're talking about 25 years ago, dude.
Little Carmine, 71. Yeah. He was like 35 when it shot.
I know. No, that's all. But,
feel
you know,
good,
well, I got to be honest. It's not a bad reference because I'm thinking the whole time Joey Clemson inviting us out there, like, I'd be afraid to get a bullet in the back of my head. Like,
yeah, well.
You ripped me. You hung up on me. Because I think we had an issue. Joey Clemson just wouldn't. We were trying to have the conversation. I think maybe it was. He can't. You know how sometimes if people are talking on their phone,
yes,
then they can't hear us trying to get in, and it sounds like they're just talking over us. I think we had that going on. It was frustrating me. So then
did you yell at him?
I think eventually I did. I tried to contain myself. But
we'll take separate cars there, buddy. You could be Pesci. I'll be all right.
That's exactly right. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019 is the number to call. We come back. We'll continue with your Yankee calls, of course. We know there are a lot of them. We want to get in the Yankee fans. We'll work the Mets into the conversation as well. The Mets, it seems, they haven't won a game in 2 weeks, or maybe just won a single game in 2 weeks. But tonight's the night, BT. I feel it in the air. Tonight's the night.
For when?
Mets are going to get right. The Braves are coming to town. Tonight's the night.
Now the Braves will be the elixir for what ails you.
Yes. Yes.
That's a dangerous
quite
hope.
Quite the role reversal from years past.